I got one more for the locals. Now you're on.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I praise the Lord for this place. First of all, giving honor to God, who's first and foremost in my life. And giving honor to the pastor of this great edifice and honor to you. It's not so much I was invited here, it's much that I'm so happy that you invited me. And I love the word of God. I was saved at a young age. We did a lot, I was telling the young man here, we did a lot of street work. In the city, you got a conglomerate, you got a lot of people. And I believe the Lord, in an early age, he gave us a compassion for the unsaved. We go by the phenomena, I call it the phenomena, save the lost. God will save the lost at any cost. Because it's a very, very important thing. I mean, you might think, some folk might think, having a car is important. That is. Having food is important. It is. But having Jesus Christ is the most important thing that'll ever happen in your life. Amen. Having Jesus Christ. And I tell my kids, there's two things that are most important. Knowing Christ is the first, and making him known is the second. So I thank God for that. We do a lot of street work. We work in our hospitals. We do everything. Somebody say, only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else becomes a pile of ashes and dust. But only what you do for Christ will last. When I walked in here, the presence of the Lord is here. I know one thing about the people here. They love the Lord. Amen. They're sincere about the Lord. I've been in many places where you get up on Sunday morning, they don't preach the word of God. They give you a big load of vain psychology. Why you should like me. And I remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about a church, the church of Ephesus. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man in that church hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. I've been in churches where Jesus is outside of his own church knocking on the door. And we won't let him in. I thank the Lord for his sweet Holy Spirit. A lot of folk where I come from think the Spirit of God is some kind of a smoke that comes into place and hide in the corner and jump out on you and then you go crazy. God says to us the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God ain't going to do nothing to you where you're going to go off and act crazy. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for saving me. I thank him for saving my family. I tell my kids, I had six children now. And my children are the kind of children where the Lord gave me instruction when I was a young man. Bringing them up, he said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know that to be true. Somebody say the truth will make you free. No, it won't. The truth ain't never made nobody free. God says, knowing the truth makes you free. Amen. You are accountable for something. Faith without works is dead. You can't say love is an action word. You can't say I love you and don't do nothing for me. You can't say I have faith and then don't assemble yourself with the people of God. These are the things that God requires of us. And it's not just a requirement, it is a command. And I've been in places, and that's why I like it so much. I feel so relaxed. Where I preach, the places I preach, like the brother said, mega ministries. You got to say amen, seal it. When you preach the truth, ain't no amens coming in. Folk are not challenged anymore from the word. And God said, don't be amazed by these things, because these things must surely come to pass. These are the last times. You have to be cognizant of these things. You have to know that God has said this. I've learned not to go in a church, and if the Spirit of God, God says, my sheep know my voice, and they will not hear another. I know the voice of God. I don't think I should or would have, should or could have. I know the voice of God. And God only speaks in one way. That's right. I tell folk I don't go nowhere without my luggage. This is what saves us. The word of God. He said he is the word. You see, I thank the Lord for, I hear there's folk that are sick. God says in the book of Isaiah, there's healing in his wings. Oh, that's a symbolic gesture. It's a symbolic statement, but think about it. Healing in his wings. And God's wings don't get tired. He said, ask and it shall be given. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And I ain't talking about money. Where I come from, money is everything. I tell folk, you never seen a U-Haul truck following a hearse. It is the Lord. It is the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. I was lost, sick, dead, gone, and done. And the Lord saw fit to reach way down and grab me. I was the least among anybody who should be saved. And God saved me anyway. I've learned if you ask the Lord, Lord, how did you save me? You know what he'll say? By grace. By grace. But you are responsible and he gives you the faith. Sometimes our faith gets weak. Sometimes we get discouraged. But God has something for that too. What does he say? I'll supply all your, some of your needs. He said, I feel good. He said, I'll supply all of your needs. Hallelujah. According to his riches in glory. You see. And tonight, if I can, I want to sing a little song. It's a song my mother taught me when I was a little child. She used to call us in and sing to us. That's where I learned to sing from. And we do a lot of it. It's a scripture in Isaiah the 11th chapter. I'm nervous, so excuse me. Isaiah the 11th chapter. Isaiah being a Bible in the middle of the Bible. It talks about the millennial kingdom. Somebody say, well, that's talking about the Jews. Yes, but we're spiritual Jews. We're spiritual Israel. Amen. Sometimes we get tired. We get weary. But God tells us about that spiritual peace in the valley. It goes, well, I'm tired and so weary. Where I must go alone till the Lord shall come and call for me away. Oh, oh, yeah. Well, the morning so bright and the day is light and the night is dark and as black as the sea. Oh, yeah. Help me. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow. Oh, my Lord, and no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yeah. Well, the wolves will be gentle and the bears will be tame. And the lions shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yeah. And the beast from the wild shall be led by a child. And I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh yeah. 'Cause there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh yeah. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, oh my Lord, and no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh yeah. Glory to God. Peace in the valley. The Lord is good. He said he's a stronghold in the time of trouble. And he knows them that trust him. Trust in him. God deals with us by our faith. And not only that, he gives us the faith. I won't be long. Let me share a few things with you. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers 13. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
Now, put your finger there. And turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We won't be long. It might seem like I'm going to be long, but they say I talk too much, but I don't really. But it's so good to be here. Glory to God. Romans 8. And we're just going to read a few verses there. We're going to read from verse 28 to 30. Now turn back to Numbers. That's why I say put your finger there. We're going to look at verse 25 in Numbers 13. Well, we'll start off with verse 1. I'm sorry. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe, of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, we can skip there and go to verse 25. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, unto Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Say milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, the Amalekites, dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Look at this, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. If there wasn't electric lights, then they would be there too. Glory to God. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let us go up at once. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him and said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report, an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They were tall. They were basketball players. They were football players. Amen. And there we saw the giants, told you, the sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Praise the Lord. Here is a land that God had aforehand promised Abraham. That's why we teach the scriptures, and it's a good thing to learn the Bible chronologically. Right. You know Noah came before Abraham. Aforehand, God had already promised Abraham. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Exodus, in the book of Genesis, he promised him a land that floweth with milk and honey. This milk and honey is all inclusive to what God is. In the New Testament, God says, I promise you myself. You see? But the children of Israel came back with a bad report. Not only that, why did they go in the land and search out the land in the first place? After God had already promised it to them. There's a scripture in the book of Exodus that tells you the children of Israel demanded. I'm sorry, it's not Ecclesiastes, it's in the next Deuteronomy. The children of Israel demanded, let us go in the land and check it out. Why are you going to go and check something out that God already promised to you? This is the kind of mistake we make today. See, and I call this is what I call it. The folk that came back with a bad report had facts. But only Joshua and Caleb had faith. Some of us, we have the facts of the word. We know what God said. We can repeat it in our sleep. But it's the faith that counts. God says, I will bless you. And you're going through a storm. Let me tell you something. That storm is a blessing. God says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. That weeping is worth the joy that comes in the morning. And this joy will cause us to rejoice. What is rejoicing? Rejoicing is joy on top of joy. God is preparing us for the place that he has for us. He said, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. In other words, I preached a little sermon on that one time. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Amen. The Lord, the God we serve, is something else. Amen. I just get beside myself when I get an opportunity just to say something that he would give in my heart. Amen. God is good. And for lack of a better expression, God is good. He's a stronghold in the time of trouble. He saved us. You can't save nobody. Can't nobody save nobody. Not only did he save us, he gave us eternal life. And let me tell you something. God didn't save you out of pity. Just out of pity. God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. It's much more than that. God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell, to keep you from this and to keep you... God saved you for a much more important reason than that. God saved you so he could have an eternal relationship, fellowship with you. We're going to, look, this is what we have in today. We have in heaven practice. We're practicing for heaven. Amen. God says to be absent in the body. This ain't all there is. It's much more than this. This is just a preview. Well, I wouldn't even say a preview. I can't even explain it. Somebody say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I have people stand up trying to explain that. Some things in this word is not to be explained. If you can't break it apart in little pieces that people can digest it, just tell them what it says.
Some things are not to be understood in the Word of God.
No, you can't tell that to somebody who's got a degree, who's been to school, who's edumacated, who's got K knowledge, who's got degrees, been to seminary. Amen. Glory to God. The God we serve is one thing over here. I come over here. The people are different. Oh, the people are different. Over where I'm from, everybody mad at you. Oh, yes. And I don't say this so facetiously, but I got to say it. Philadelphia is known to be one of the ugliest cities in the world. Everybody's mad for no reason, especially if you're a Christian. I came here, everything I've seen, even the bugs on the ground are different. Everything is different. I've never been here before. This is a brand new experience. My birthday was yesterday. Amen. And I see something that God is doing. I don't mean to holler at you, but I got to shout about this. I got to cry like the pastor said yesterday. The Lord Jesus cried to the people. Everything is different, but one thing is not different at all. And the scriptures say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that just has to do with time. Yes. But he's the same, period. Amen. Everywhere, up, down, left, right, wherever you go, God is the same. Amen. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Well, God never changes. I've been happy. The happiest I've ever been. About the Word of God. Amen. When you look in this Word and the Lord tinked your heart by the Spirit of God. See, Jesus always told parables. I didn't even get to my sermon. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus gave parables. God always gives a physical or material example, but it always makes a spiritual import. Like the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sheep. The spiritual import of that is that God feels over one soul that is lost more than he does over 99 that are not. Amen. This is the God that we serve. Amen. My Bible says God's ways is not like man's ways. God's ways is higher than man's ways, even as the heavens is above the earth. Man can send out spaceships, he can send out signals, he can send out anything, but he cannot touch the sky. Amen. God don't work like man does. Oh, faith is, let me tell you something, it's good to have some faith. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now let some man say that. It makes no sense whatsoever. Matter of fact, you'll think I'm crazy. Evidence is something we always have to see. God says not with faith. Amen. We go through a storm. One thing about storms, and I've been through many of them. Ooh, you're going to go through a storm. God don't just take you through a storm or push you in. He goes with you.
That's right.
My daughter-in-law gave me one of those little thick Bible things you put in the Bible. And it talks about the footprints. Man, he walked on the beach. He said everything was cool. I mean, the sun was shining. He had enough food to eat. Matter of fact, he had some dessert. And he said, Lord, and then the storm came. The wind blew boisterous. The clouds came down close to the earth and blew everything up in his face. And he said, Jesus, why when I went through that, why when I was going and everything was nice, I see two sets of footprints. But when the storm came, when the clouds came, when the wind came, when everything got hard, I got sick, my heart hurt, my feet hurt, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, I couldn't do anything. He said, why do I see just one set of footprints? And Jesus said, as he always said to his disciples and all those that would listen, it is because I carried you.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. God says, when you're going through something, it's only light affliction.
I tell it like this. There was a man who had no shoes. He had no socks either. He cried and he complained. And he went down on his face and he's, "Oh, I don't have any shoes." He cried, he complained, he did some of everything. Until he walked around the corner and met a man with no feet. It's always somebody worse off than you. What does that mean? No matter what, keep on praying.
Amen.
Pray for him. Pray for him. These children of Israel, they had no faith. They had no faith. God had already promised them the land.
That's right.
They had no faith in what God had promised. How about you? God gave us promises too.
Amen.
Turn right quick in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I got to find it again because I got so excited. Glory to God. Now these are some of the promises God has made us personally. This ain't Old Testament. This is new. Hmm?
Amen.
What he says here, he says, look in verse 28. What's the first three words?
And we know.
That's what the children of Israel should have did. The land was the promise. God had promised Abraham a child. Oh, he got a little, I don't know what happened to him. He got a little, because it was getting to the age of non-childbearing. But one thing I know about the Lord, he never makes a promise that he does not keep.
Amen.
He came back to Abraham and him and Sarah was old heads. I mean, they were older than all of us put together, I think, you know. They were old. They were way past childbearing. The angel of the Lord said, "Did I not promise?" Sarah back there laughed. "We're going to have fun like this. We're going to have that fun. We're old. You know, we're going to have a baby?" I can just imagine. And Abraham just stood there because it was the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was named the angel of the Lord's host. That third angel, there was something about that angel. I know what about it. He was Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
But all in all, the Bible said Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you understand what that is? You just believe God. Believe what God said. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it looks, no matter what things is in the way, it doesn't matter. I've been in trouble one day and went to sleep at night and woke up the next morning, but I didn't forget to pray. And I woke up that morning. He said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in." I woke up that morning jumping up my head, almost touching the ceiling. Because the Lord delivers. The Lord makes a difference in your life. It's your faith. No matter what it looks like. You know, some folk they'd rather be called a sinner than to be called a criminal. Did you know that? You say that to a congregation where I'm at. No, it ain't. No, you know. But this is the truth. Here he says, "And we know that 99.999 into eternity things work together for good." No, he didn't say that. I just said that. He said, "And we know that all things work together." All things don't just work for good. So don't go out there doing something, you know. He says, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord." Do you love the Lord? Then everything in your life, all things in your life, right? If you stomp your toys out somehow, I don't know, somehow, that works together for good. Maybe to get you not to stomp your toe no more. But he says here, all things work together for good. That is deep.
Amen.
We take it lightly because we don't really put our understanding on it. All things. You ain't got nothing to worry about. And I use English like that so you remember. He says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom, this is the promise, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, I deal with a lot of people that have problems with these words, foreknow and predestinate. They'll make an excuse that this is talking about Calvinism. I do a lot of teaching on the isms and schisms and all of that, because that's what we need where we're from. Y'all easy. Y'all know the Lord. The Bible tells us all those who cry, Lord, Lord, shall not be saved. You got to believe in what God has said. Before you believe in it, you got to know it. He said you have not simply because you don't ask.
Amen.
Lord, show me what you want me to see in this word. Show me what you want me to say. Help me, Lord. I don't know how to do it. A lot of us men are so prideful. Like the pastor was saying, I hear it. We're so prideful, we can't say we don't know. We got to know everything. There's nothing that we don't know. It'll hinder our manhood. It'll make us look little. And this has nothing to do with it, but I meet a lot of men who think love makes you weak. The word love is a weak word. They'll run from it. Even in the church, love is one of the most love is most powerful than anything. God is love.
Amen.
But see, he says in all thy getting, he says, get wisdom. But in all thy getting, get understanding. This is what we're actually talking about here. Facts without faith. You don't have no understanding either. Facts without faith equals fear. Check it out if you don't believe me. But here is the promises. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, he tells us we were blessed before the foundation of the world.
Right.
My God, do you understand who you are?
Amen.
I tell folks, look, don't be swollen, don't be swole with all that pride and stuff, but know who you are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
We are somebody in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hmm? God in the Old Testament had the Nazarites. Hmm? These are people that God would set up before the world and say, look what I did. This is how I make man. Samson was one of them. You see, God has you on, what do you call it? He has you on display. Yes, and he tells you, he said, let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You are a witness. You don't just have a witness. You are a witness. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You are a spirit.
Amen.
You are more powerful than you even imagine. With Jesus, ain't nothing you can't do. Without him, you can do nothing. God is yea and amen.
Amen.
There's only two things on the earth, good and evil. Ain't no half good. Ain't no half evil. You're either good or you're evil. With Jesus Christ, this is what he's saying right here. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What does that word predestinate mean? What he's actually saying is, God preed your destiny. Oh, makes sense, don't it? No, it don't make no sense. What God did, what he's saying that he did, God made your end first. And then he backed up and made you. Don't make no sense, does it? Because the only way you understand that is through the spiritual.
Amen.
See, a lot of folk read this, like I said, they got facts, but they don't have faith. It takes faith to understand what God has said. He said, you are predestinated. God called you. You didn't call him. You hear people say, my birthday for sale. I came to the Lord. No, you didn't. You didn't come to nobody. Hmm? And I like to put it that way. Hmm? He says, so he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. See, I love the words. Not just the words, not just the whole shebang. Like he was talking about the context. You will never hear the word context in a lot of churches I go in. Because they got their own thing. Like in the Church of Laodicea. Those seven churches in the book of Revelation. We're living in that time now, the church of Laodicea. Man's opinion. Where man's opinion meets more than the spiritual understanding of God's word. So what he says here, he says to be conformed to the image. When do we see an image? Where do we see an image? When we look in the mirror. Okay? He said we are conformed to the image of his son. This is what he's actually saying. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at Pastor Wetzel. He doesn't see him. You know who he sees? He sees Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he don't see me. I'm glad he don't see me. God sees all. We're a lot of Christ running around here. This is what God sees. Because he says we're conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why we're brothers. We're brothers in Christ. Then he says, moreover. That's a key word. You mean it's more than that? It's not enough that we are in the image of Christ. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You didn't call him, he called you. So you are his purpose. Not just his reason, his purpose. God made you for a reason. A baby comes into the world for a reason. And that, I tell folk, a little child, that's why I don't go along with that abortion stuff. Pill popping to keep from getting pregnant. It's not a haphazard event or a secondary scheme. It's purposed of God. You see? So here he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. You know what I say about this word justified? I hear this pastor. This guy kills me. Don't tell him I told you this. Oh, he kills me. He gets in the word of God and he talks the word of God. I've been hungry. So he says here, let me cool down. He says, moreover, whom he called, he also justified. I tell a young folk, young Bible students, justified. Amen. Just as if you had never sinned.
That's right.
One of the twins of justification is sanctification. Justification tells you you're all right. Sanctification makes you all right. To make a long story short, justification is the tracks that leads to your destiny, which is heaven. Sanctification is the train. Get it? Oh, we've been taken care of. This old world can't hold you. Ain't nothing in this old world wanting me to stay. Amen. Sometimes I tell folk, look. If you go on, sometimes folk go on, I get jealous. Sometimes this old world gets so bad when you see it. When you can see it like God sees it. The reason for the law wasn't because nobody ever kept it. Nobody ever kept the law. The law was to show us how exceeding sinful sin is. And this whole world is full of sin. So he says here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also
glorified.
Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. Are you in heaven yet?
No.
Then act like you are. You in heaven, you are just as much in heaven now as you're going to be when you get there.
Amen.
And I got people that tells me, Reverend Mason, you mean, you got different denominations, but when you bring the tenets of a denomination down to the level of the scriptures, and you say the scriptures is this, and you go by the tenets of that denomination, I'm going to tell you something. God don't give you something and then take it back.
That's right.
We're Indian givers. I'll give you something, you don't act right, give me my thing back. God ain't like that. God don't do that. The Bible says promises are yea, so be it.
Amen.
When God promised you, you can. I'm not a betting man, but I just use the term. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Yeah.
He's going to keep his promise.
Amen.
You already glorified. God says the angels sit on the rim. On the rim of the universe. They can't do like we do. Angels cannot be redeemed. We are redeemed.
That's right.
We are blessed. We have eternity living in us. And in closing, God tells us we are sealed. You're sealed. I lived in the South. I was born in the South. In South Carolina. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Yeah, I'm an old head. I've been around the block a few times. And when we came up, we used to plant, you know. Pastor knows. He tells me he's a country boy. So am I. We used to plant food, you know, plant gardens. They used to farm down there. But the thing I'm saying is my mom used to go to Chapin Company. And she used to get these jars, these mason jars. I don't know if you're familiar with this. But we had too much that we planted during the summertime to eat. We had too much to eat it. So what they would do, they would can these things. They would can the peas. They would can the corn. They would even can sausage. Now the point I'm trying to make is God says we are sealed. In the canning process, they would take that mason jar, put the vegetable or fruit or whatever you would put in it, they would put the solution in, and they would sit it in boiling water. And the lid was made of in such a way that when you put the lid on it and it would boil in this water, the lid would pop. That pop said that the jar was sealed. And that sealed meant nothing could get out and nothing could get in. Like I said, she would can sausage. And she didn't have to put it in the refrigerator. She would sit it on the shelf. I mean, that's a lonely kind of way to explain it, but it's the best I can do. Sealed. We are sealed. We are sealed, God says in the book of Ephesians, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, or with the Spirit of promise.
Amen.
You are sealed with the Spirit of promise. Who is the Spirit of promise? God. God sealed you with a promise. When we were young, we were caught, we'd seal it with a kiss and all that. God sealed you by the Spirit of promise. Now, somebody asked, well, how long are you sealed? That's an invalid question. That question you can't even ask that question about the seal that God put on us. You know why? Because time has nothing to do with eternity. There's no time in eternity. Like I heard somebody say, time was made. Time was created for you. That's why I tell folk time can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. You are sealed. How long? That's not a valid question. Because Ephesians 4:30 says you are sealed unto.
Amen.
The day of redemption. Unto and until is two different things. Until is accordance with time. Unto is to be absent in the body. Is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You know where you're going. That's why we holler. That's why we act like this. Amen. That's why we sing. We sing the glory of God. Amen. And you know when you get to heaven, you go find out why you practice so much. Amen. Glory to God. I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to thank you for being such a wonderful Holy Ghost audience. And it was good to be here. And I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity, this privilege. I didn't know this was going to happen. But God always has it in his hands. You know, and I want to just say this before I close, because I want to make a little confession. You know, we go through, you never know what a person is going through, especially a child of God. A preacher. Don't you ever think it's easy for this man here. They held Moses' hands up. This man needs folk to hold his arms up. It can be so discouraging. Oh, it can be so discouraging. People hate you. Even people in the church. Amen. I come over here, I say, Lord. I always talk to the Lord. You know, talk to the Lord. A lot of folk don't know how to talk to the Lord. You ain't got to tell God his word. Lord, my foot hurts. You said you'd heal it. Watch what happens. I come over here, I say, Lord, sometime I even, Lord, did you call me? You know, it's something wrong when everybody in the church. It's something wrong. It's something bad wrong when everybody in the church. Reverend Mason, you sure? And the Lord saw fit. This is the Lord brought me here. Oh, I know he did, because I didn't bring myself. I had nothing to do with it. But I know I'm here. And the Lord just answered a question for me. Through this pastor here. I never met this man. God did. What did the psalmist say? I looked and searched and sought for a man who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And I found none. God found somebody today. You see, I was so discouraged. Lord, did you call me? Lord, am I? What is it, Lord? And I'm rejuvenated. When I get back, I can start all over again. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to let you know what's going on in my life. I thank God for this. I praise God for this. And thank you for listening. Amen. Keep me in your prayers. Amen.
I'll tell you, God's good. Yeah, appreciated that message. My. And can you imagine? We're not through yet. We've got food out there to eat. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but this morning I got up and I had some of those little French toast sticks from Carl Jr.'s. That was early. Susie went out, left the emergency room at the hospital and brought it back. And I ate those. When I went home after our morning service, I ate a bowl of Jell-O. Because I knew we were going to eat tonight. And I've been saving my appetite. We're celebrating birthdays. And we just found out we've got another birthday to celebrate. How about that? See, we celebrate your birthday while you're out here. Yeah. I didn't even look at the bulletin today. Who else has birthdays this month? Really? All right. You had yours already. We sung happy birthday to you already. Did I see some more? Barbara, did you raise your hand? Abel had a birthday. Yeah, and Emily had a birthday. My, we got a lot of what is this month? September? September people are out here. And Billy had a birthday the last day of August. That's nearly September, isn't it? Yeah. All right. I'll tell you, everybody around here is getting old. Amen. All right. You're a wonderful congregation. Now we're going to go out and have some food and fellowship. Don't anybody go home right away. Let's visit with one another. Spend some time with one another. Have some good, sweet Christian fellowship. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm happy to have Don and Phyllis Sandoval with us tonight.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Don, if he will, to pray for us.
Our gracious Heavenly Father.